In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the beginning, before the fall, God joined man to woman and woman to man in holy matrimony. In a perfect world, men and women needed each other. How much more so in this sinful world? So he who established marriage in the beginning willed to perform his first miracle at a wedding to show that he still blesses this holy estate. Through the marital union, he brings children into the world and provides for them. Through the marital union, he provides for both the needs of husband and of wife. He grants satisfaction. There is no closer, more intimate union than this of husband and wife. Even that of parent and child comes second. As our Lord graced the wedding of Cana with his presence, so he also was present at your wedding. It is God who joined you together as husband and wife, even if you were married at a courthouse. For it is God who blessed you throughout the years. In this day and age, when marriage is viewed as unnecessary at best, and at worst a hindrance to our security, our prosperity, and our success, we pause to remember that God established this union for the good of us, his creatures. This is what is best for society. Not individuals running around trying to pursue a career, but this, a lifelong union between one man and one woman. For even in a perfect world, it is not good that man should be alone. His presence at the wedding of Cana also teaches us that God came to this earth to get a bride for himself. The husband is an image of Christ, and the wife is an image of the church. As the husband withholds nothing from his wife, but gives to her all that he has and all that he is, so Christ gives all that he has and is to his church. But he does not choose the most beautiful, righteous, upright, moral people. Instead, he chooses the prostitutes and the sinners, the wicked and the unjust, the undesirables of society he desires to make his beautiful, spotless bride. Sin is an image, or prostitution is an image of sin. Adultery is an image of sin. It's desiring something that God has not given. It's almost the height of selfishness. Individuals think they are loving each other by engaging in such acts, but it is nothing more than getting something for yourself. And that's a very clear image of what sin is. Our desire to live for ourselves and to get what we think we need rather than trusting our bridegroom to provide for us. So all of Christ's work, his teachings and his miracles, his life and his death, were to make us a beautiful bride fit for him, so we may cling to him and receive his gifts. But that wedding at Cana lacked wine, an embarrassment to the family. Weddings are a time of celebration and of joy over this tremendous gift God has given. The lack of wine shows the cross that God has placed over marriage since the fall. We do not always taste the joy or the excitement or the bliss of this marital union. Hardships and difficulties quickly enter. Division and discord replace discussion and love. Selfishness very often rules the house. The problem isn't marriage. It's the two sinners who are living in marriage. How hard it is to live for someone else. How hard it is to completely give yourself to someone else. How hard it is to receive the gifts of your spouse when other spouses receive far better things. But blessed is the man who loves his wife. Not who has passions and desires for her, but who sacrificially loves her by giving her all that he has. And blessed is the wife who submits to her husband out of reverence for Christ. The lack of wine also shows the cross God has placed on our spiritual union with Christ. We do not always taste the joy and excitement, the comfort and hope of heaven. We do not always feel like we are Christians in a glorious procession to the very gates of heaven. There is much tribulation and anxiety that afflict us. But where the bridegroom goes, there we follow. We struggle simply because we are united to him. We are tested so that we may have an opportunity to express and to show our love and desire for him and him alone. He is our love and we submit to him. We receive the gifts that he alone gives. And we refuse to prostitute ourselves out to someone else just for an immediate joy or pleasure. So as a wife receives the gifts of only her husband and the love of only her husband and does not look for anything else from anyone else, so also we receive the gifts and love of Christ alone. The six stone jars represent the law. Man was created on the sixth day, and yet ever since the fall, he needs to be washed clean. As water can cleanse only the outward body, so the law of God can only cleanse us outwardly. It can only fix the outward actions. It cannot change the heart or give us the right motives. It cannot cleanse the guilty soul or remove the sin that lies deep within the heart. So time and time again, the Jews engaged in these ceremonial washings, but to no avail. The problem lay deep within their heart, infected them to the very core. The harder they tried, the more they fell short. So also, the harder we try to keep God's holy law, the more we fall short. We could never fill all that the law demanded. We could never keep the law perfectly. Sin remained in our heart. Guilt clung to our very souls. If we want to celebrate with God and have happiness and bliss with him for all eternity, then we cannot rely on our ability to fill up the law's demands. For who of us is perfect? But Christ fills them up to the brim. He keeps the first all the way through the 10th commandment. He fills the law up with his holiness, his righteousness, his perfection. He earned what no man could earn, and he has done what no man could do. The law can hold nothing more, for Christ has kept it in every way. All the dietary restrictions, the washings, the love that the law demanded, he kept, not only outwardly, but more importantly, he kept in his soul, in his heart. He was perfect in every way, in body and in heart. He loved God, and he loved his neighbor. And so he has fulfilled what you and I could never possibly fulfill. Mary cannot help him. She is his mother. But his harsh response to her teaches her and us that her motherly authority does not extend over his office as Christ. She has no role in winning salvation or in giving us the gifts of salvation, and neither do the saints, for Christ is the one who has filled it up completely. He is the one who has kept the law. He alone has the righteousness and holiness and perfection. He alone is all that we need. He is our comfort, our hope, our joy. He alone is our bridegroom, who has given us every good and perfect gift, and we receive only the gifts of the bridegroom. Then he tells his ministers to scoop some out and to deliver it. Take my righteousness and give it to those steeped in sin. Give what is best to those who have wasted my gifts. Fill their mouths and their hearts with the finest of wines. Recall that St. John says it was the third day when all this happened. He begs us to think of Easter. Christ is risen from death so that we may celebrate this wondrous meal with him. The law cannot punish you, for Christ has died and Christ is risen. You are free from the curse of the law. You are free from your sins. You are free from even death itself. And so the stony jars have been replaced with a golden chalice, for this is truly a celebration. He fills your cup up with wine, and by his word it is his blood. It rushes to cleanse your heart and your body. It gladdens the heart. It removes all sin and makes you run and leap for joy, for your bridegroom withholds none of his gifts from you. He gives you his righteousness, his holiness, his perfection in this chalice. So you are holy, righteous, and perfect, you who drink in faith. He also gives you himself, so that you are united to him and he to you in a blessed union that shall have no end. Flesh to flesh and bone to bone, you are not two, but you are one. Christ has his church. The bridegroom has his bride. And not even death can tear you two apart. Marriage is a most blessed earthly union, but it is only for this earth. In heaven, we will not be married. For marriage is an image of a greater union. It expresses a greater reality, that of Christ and his church. And here at the Holy Supper, we begin that celebration. And there in heaven, we will continue to sing with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, and to forever receive and enjoy the gifts of our bridegroom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.